Psalm 119, we'll do the whole thing this morning. You know, I love to hear some of you laughing. That means some of you know how long Psalm 119 is. 176 verses is the longest chapter in the Bible. And fittingly, it's a chapter about the Word of God, and it's the longest chapter in the Word of God. Some things you can say in two verses. You'll look at Psalm 117 there. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. So there's certain things you can say in two verses. And then there's other things you need at least to have 176 verses to say, I guess. And to think that the psalm was written when there was the psalmist didn't have the New Testament, didn't have probably major portions of the Old Testament. If he had, he'd probably write 3,000 verses in the psalm. And it's amazing to see the insight in what he writes about the Word of God with the portions that he had, this author. And we're not told specifically who it was. It's written to us in what's called an acrostic form. That means that each section, there are 22 sections, 8 verses each, and each section is according to one of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, if we did that in English, it would be like the first section would begin with A, and every sentence in the first section would begin with A. That's what's happening here. The second section, verses 9 to 16, every sentence would begin with the letter B, and that's what happens here. The third section, every sentence would begin with the letter C. Now, by the time you get to X and Z, you've got some problems trying to make something make sense if you're starting every. But, you know, it is supernatural and remarkable to go through this. The reason that it's written in the acrostic form is to help with memorization. You have 176 verses, 22 sections, 8 verses each. Each of those 8 verses in each section beginning with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet that the section is relative to. And they wanted it easy to memorize because when this was written in the end of the Old Testament era and during the days of Christ, children would memorize the 119th Psalm. Now, in our school, we have a memory verse every month. Imagine if Sam decided this month we're memorizing the 119th Psalm. Parents would be pulling their kids out of school. Teachers would be quitting. There'd be a rebellion. I know it. It would be a revolution. People would find bodies all over the building. 176 verses memorized. I don't have it memorized. But it was written in the form so that it would be easier to memorize. I love the Word of God, and that's why I love the psalm, because it's about the Word of God. I think it was Spurgeon that said, "Show me a Bible that is worn out, and I'll show you a Christian who isn't. Show me a Bible that's worn out, I'll show you a Christian that is not." It begins in the first 8 verses telling us the way of blessing, because, of course, the way of blessing is relative to the Word of God. In the first 8 verses, we have 6 words, and let's read through the first 8 verses, 6 words that define the Word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. That's our first word, the law of the Lord, the Torah. It's used 25 times in this psalm. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. That means specific directions in regards to certain things. That's used 23 times. And seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. The precepts of the Lord. 21 times in the psalm. It means they're very defined injunctions. They're particular precepts related to certain things. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. The statutes used 22 times in this psalm. And they're specific written directions relative most of the time to ceremonial law, statutes. then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. That word commandments used 22 times in this psalm, and they are particular parts of the Torah, of the law, the commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Is a word that's used 21 times in this psalm, judgments, and it means decisions that God made relative to difficult circumstances, specific judgments. These are the judgments of the Lord in regards to these kinds of things. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. So that's the divine side as we begin in this psalm to look at these first 8 verses, which gives to us the way of blessing. The way of blessing, as far as God is concerned, is relative to his law, his testimonies, his precepts, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments. And then as we come into the next 8 verses, we'll hear about his word, which is more inclusive, and it uses 2 different words to describe his word. The divine side. The human side of this is, blessed are the undefiled in the way, our way, which just means the path that you're on, and I'm thankful that we have a way. When I look at this world and the threat of war and what's going on in the Middle East and what's happening in our nation morally and ethically, and I look what's going on around us and what troubled times we lived in, I'm very thankful that we have a way. God has defined a way for us in the middle of this insane world. So, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk. That's our part, to keep our feet there. Blessed are they, verse 2, that keep. That's our responsibility, to guard the things of God's word, his testimonies, that seek him with a whole heart. That's our human responsibility, to seek. They do always. They also do no iniquity. They walk again in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep again thy precepts. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep again thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Our responsibility to respect the word of God as the word of God. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned, that's the human side again, thy righteous judgments. I will keep again thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. So the way, the walk, the keeping, the seeking, the observing, the respecting, learning, all of that is relative to us. That's the human side. And of course, interesting, it says in verse 6, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect, notice, unto all of thy commandments. Not unto the ones I like. You know, most of us love the Bible, it's just the verses that bother us. You know, if it was a smorgasbord and we could pick and choose, we'd be happy. No, this psalmist says, then I respect to all of thy commandments, the entire word of God. Look, it is a privilege that we get to gather here week in and week out and look into the word of God, that we can push aside some of the tradition. And I'm not opposed to tradition, but we can push aside liturgy and some of those things, that we can sing simple choruses and we can open this book and say, this is our final authority for all faith and practice. Those are things that Huss was burned at the stake for, that people died for and gave their life for. And we have it here every week. I think it is extremely important that you and I stand for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, because we are living in an age that has been washed with media, with MTV, with entertainment. We live in a world where we constantly can appeal or try to, you know, appeal to the media or some other way to give ourselves some means of escape, whether it's through the television or movies, or we're used to all of that. And then I look around and I see the church, first of all, a huge part of it having turned away from the Word of God, not believing that the Word of God is the Word of God. And then I look at those who still say the Word of God is the Word of God, but they don't think it's sufficient, and they have to have all kinds of media and all kinds of props and prompts and entertainments, and they're appealing to a culture that is washed in media and entertainment. And I'm thinking, Lord, what we're lacking is vertical. It isn't horizontal. Where are the days of Whitfield and Moody and Paul the Apostle, when it was the power of the Holy Spirit that touched a generation and moved an entire generation and a nation and a country and a people? And that's what we're lacking. And we're never going to make excuses, because we believe this is the Word of God. And we're going to abide in it. And what we lack is something this way, not something this way. And I'm worried. When I see this move trying to be relative to Gen X, Gen X is already 30 years old. You better find out what Gen is behind that if you're really concerned. And it isn't by that. It is again by a fresh move of God's Holy Spirit and the power of His Word. Because people want clarity. Young people want honesty. They're smart enough to realize when something is real and something is phony. They're longing for truth and clarity. The Word of God is the way of blessing. It was 3,000 years ago. It is today. There's a problem, though. I read this. I want to be blessed. I don't know about you. Blessed are the undefiled or perfect in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. And Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. I'm already depressed. I don't know about you guys. Blessed are the undefiled, the perfect in the way. I haven't arrived yet. Working on it. Who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with a whole heart. My heart still... I still have some heart trouble. Still find it looking after other things sometimes. Wandering from the past sometimes. You've commanded us to keep these things diligently. And I'm so thankful that this psalmist is honest in our behalf. Because verse 5 he says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Your commands." Evidently he is ashamed as he's writing. "Then shall I not be ashamed. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgment." Lord, I have so much yet to learn when I hear these. "I will keep Your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." And I love the honesty of this. Yes, it's the way of blessing, and we all long for the way of blessing. Well, the way of blessing is walking in the ways of God, keeping His testimonies and His statutes and His law and His precepts, His commandments and His judgments, and doing that perfectly. And the more perfectly we do it, the more blessed of a place that we're in. But I look at that and I think, Lord, I want to do that. I'm glad verse 5 says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes." How do I do this, Lord? I want that. I acknowledge it. Lord, as I learn Your judgments, as I grow in grace and the knowledge of who You are, Lord, more and more my life is in Your Word. You know, walking with the Lord now 30 years, I'm more familiar and more submitted to His Word than I was when I was saved for 5 years or 10 years. You know, interesting, maybe in those days I had more zeal in some ways. But I find that I'm still growing in grace and in the knowledge of who He is. And I'm so thankful for the honesty of the psalmist saying, "Oh Lord, that I was right there. I see it. I acknowledge it. I bow to it. And would to God that it was more and more true in my own life. And I know that it will be." There's great assurance. The way of blessing, I see it. But the way of blessing is attached to the way of cleansing. That's the next 8 verses. There is never the way of blessing without the way of cleansing. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way," or young lady? "By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word." He moves from the way of blessing to the way of cleansing. Obviously, they go hand in hand. There is never the way of blessing without the way of cleansing. You know, look, as parents, we understand this. If my children walking in the ways of the Lord. These are the rules we have in the house. This is the way we want you to live. We want you to live this way because we love you. If you go out and live in sexual sin, you go out and you start selling drugs, or you go out and just in rebellion living in the world, I can't endorse that. I can't franchise that. I can't pay for that. As long as you live by the rules of the house, God, a loving Father, more loving than any of us, says this is the way of blessing. Walk ye in it. And as long as you do that, you know, the utilities are yours. The refrigerator is yours. Anything you need, it's yours. You know, our lives are given. We love you. We want to see you flourish and grow. But we love you so much that if you decide to live in rebellion, you're going to have to step outside of the parameters of blessing, because we can't finance and endorse that. And we would rather have you angry at us today, maybe even hate us. I love you so much, I'm willing to make that sacrifice to see your eternity where it needs to be. Though presently my heart will be torn out of my chest and crushed on the floor. And God says, this is the way of blessing. But it doesn't take place without the way of cleansing. It never will. Wherewithal shall a young man or a young woman cleanse his way, be taking heed thereunto thy word. Have to know the word to obey it. If we're not familiar with it, we can't take heed to it. Certainly, Peter tells us this, whereby the word of God are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That there are great and precious promises in the word of God given to us that are effective in our lives, that whereby we may be partakers of the divine nature, and then having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Paul says to Titus, it is the grace of God that has appeared, bringing us to salvation, teaching us to deny ungodly lust in this present world, and to look forward to the coming of our blessed God and Savior, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he says, you know, it was grace that saved us, but it's grace that's with us today to teach us to deny ungodly lust in this present world. And of course, what else could teach us to look forward to the end of the world and the coming of Christ? With such sinners such as us, struggling, growing, what could cause our hearts to look forward to the most climactic thing that will happen ever in the history of the universe, except grace? Except knowing that He comes toward us not with fire, but with love, because of the blood of Christ. The word of God is cleansing. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. John 17:17, set their lives aside through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That the word of God takes a hold of us and sets us aside. It sanctifies us. It gives us instruction in regards to this present world. It tells us any man that has this hope, the hope of the coming of the Lord, purifies himself even as he is pure. The word of God gives us a hope that worldly people don't have right now. Look at what's going on in the world. You know, I'm a Christian. I watch the news. I feel hopeless sometimes. And I have the hope. I know the truth. I can't imagine facing what people are facing in the world today without Jesus Christ, without his word, without the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine watching a loved one slip into eternity as an unbeliever. Wherewithal shall a young man, young woman, cleanse their way? And this generation, the first generation ever to live, washed by MTV, washed by things in the media that 30 years ago would never have been accepted by anyone. And when a generation came home from World War II that survived the Depression and learned to do without and then learned to sacrifice and wanted to come home and raise families and love their homes, they had seen blood and they had seen war. Some of the nonsense we see today would not have sold a single album or not a single ticket to the movie. You know, there was a generation, it was a time, it was different. But now things are changed. James Dobbin used to tell us the most dangerous time in the lives of our kids and the most important time was the formative years, 1 to 5. And if you got Christian kids and you grounded them then, you taught them the truth, they'd survive. They have all changed their position and they all say now it's junior high because 12, 13, and 14-year-old kids are exposed to everything. When we did the last women's retreat, we worked with an artist, and his representative came here, and we blew up one of the pictures that he did, and he lives in a small town in rural Pennsylvania. He said, in our town right now, there are more girls pregnant in the elementary school than there are in the high school. That's the world we're living in. Don McClure, I was listening to him, and that's always amusing if you know Don. He's always saying something crazy. And he said, you know, when I was a young child, he said, I loved to catch flies and pull their wings off and watch them flop around and try to fly, you know, because I had this great capacity to zoom and then I had their wings. And he said, I hated flies and I just loved to watch my neurosis, my sickness. He said, but when I became a teenager and my hormones started to cook and I started to be driven by this desire, and every girl I saw, I was going, he said, and I read in God's word, I gave you that desire, but don't use it. He said, I only thought I was cruel, pulling wings off flies. He said, you give us this and you say, don't use this till you get married. And he said, it's dry. And he said, but you know, he said, I realized as I read God's word, God was saying to me, I will put this one thing that consumes you so often, this challenge. And if you can learn by my grace and by my word to control this, there will be 1,000 other things in life that you will conquer. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, unto thy word, O Lord. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. God's word is controlling. Don't let me wander from your commandments. Jesus himself quoted scripture to Satan when Satan tempted him in the wilderness. And if the scripture was what the Son of God used, certainly it's what should be the controlling factor in our lives. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It is correcting the word of God hid in our hearts. Now, look, it's not saying I've memorized scriptures so that I can have an uppity attitude and prove that I'm more spiritual than any other Christians around. That's not what it says. And I don't know where you stand with memorization. I think it's a great thing. I don't do real well with it. Especially now that I've hit 50. I have 4 kids. Once when I'm saying, you know, I mean, look, I have great portions of Scripture memorized, but it's from familiarity. It's from reading. It's from staying in the Word of God. It's not from... And some people do very well with memorization, and I do think that's important. It's just the way I am wired. I do it a different way. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But I love the Word of God. Major portions of the Scripture we have memorized, no doubt, are from hymns and songs. But your Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And the thing is, we have to make it a priority. The world wants to take it away from us. The world wants to say it's not politically correct. It's not inclusive. But we're not going to turn away from it here. If you want to set aside the Word of God, you're in the wrong place. And it's not going to happen here. I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's instructing and correcting. We now have the record of the prodigal. That yes, if we do make a mistake, we can come back. We know from 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're warned in regards to the Word of God that there are those who have the Word of God sown in their hearts, and then that the cares and the riches of this life will choke that Word. That's the same word used when Jesus was in the throng. It says they were thronging him. That's the word choke there. that sometimes the Word of God gets thronged in our heart. It gets choked. What that tells us, if we have to set priorities, God looks down at humanity, over 6 billion people on the planet, and there is never His attention for a single individual that can get choked because His heart is infinite. So there isn't ever a time when any of us are not on His heart. But our hearts are not infinite. And life is filled with responsibilities and temptations. And sometimes the Word of God gets planted there on Sunday morning or at a conference and we're excited. But then we find that the cares, the merimna, it means to be pulled in different directions. You know, people say, I feel like I'm being pulled in 1,000 different directions. Well, the Bible understands that. And the riches of this age, the cares of this age, in contrast to the one to come. Nothing wrong with riches. God uses, there are wealthy people through the ages that God raised up. But the point is, priority-wise, the Word of God has to be placed in our life in a place where it is not choked out of effectiveness by so many other things in our life. We have to set priorities and make the Word of God the Word of God in our lives. Hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. With my lips I've declared all thy judgments with my mouth, not ashamed. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, not ashamed of your word. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Now look what he's saying. He's saying, Lord, I know there's a way of blessing. And I know that there can't be a way of blessing without a way of cleansing. And I know that you can't bless sin. And I know there's a blessing, Lord, for those who are undefiled in the way, on their course, as their road through life. And they walk in your law, Lord. They keep your testimonies. They seek you with the whole heart. There's a blessing there. But Lord, oh, that you would teach me your testimonies. Oh, God, that you would work in my life. When I have learned your righteous judgments, then, Lord, those blessings will be mine too. And wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy word. Lord, your word is cleansing. Your word is controlling. Your word is correcting. I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And Lord, when I think that the blessings of my life are not relegated to the realm of finance and power and pleasure, that there is something that is far and above all of the things that this life could put in front of us and call blessings, Lord, then those are divine blessings, Lord, that you would relegate them and assign them to my life. And I know that it's your word then, Lord, that actually is cleansing and correcting and controlling, Lord. It is more precious to me than all of the riches of this world. I wouldn't trade away your word for $1 million. I see millionaires in Betty Ford Clinic. I see people that have everything and have nothing. And I work my job week in and week out, Lord. I care for my family. But I lay down my head on the pillow at the end of the day and say, Lord, we did it, didn't we? Another day. It was good, wasn't it, Lord? We walked together. And Lord, if you want to blow the trumpet right here, right now, that's fine with me, because I'm ready. Ready to come home. I know there's a way for me, Lord, in this world, and a way of blessing. And it's through your testimonies and your statutes. I will not lessen them for society, for culture. They are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth will pass away. Not one jot, not one tittle of your word, Lord, will pass away. And it's a treasure to me. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect to thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will meditate in thy statutes. I will not forget your word. I will have respect. Or maybe you think, well, come on, you know, I get church over, I want to go to Friendly's. The Word of God ain't that important to me. It will be. It will be. If God tarries. If He tarries. And you and I watch our loved ones on the deathbed. There will be no thing more important to us than the Word of God. If you and I come to that place at that moment, when we examine our lives, there will be one grid that will matter to us, And that will be, where is our life today on this deathbed relative, Lord Jesus, to you, to time and to eternity and to your word? It will be important. And if the Lord doesn't tarry and we see war, we see our lives radically changed. The word of God will be more important to us than we could ever imagine. Lord, there is a way of blessing. Staying in your word, walking in your precepts, seeking you with a perfect heart, loving you. Lord, but you see my condition. Teach me your statutes. Oh, Lord, that I would walk that way. If you teach me your righteous judgments, Lord, then I will. Don't forsake me. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Lord, it's by taking heed thereunto, unto thy word. Lord, I'm not going to wander away from your precepts. I've hidden them in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And Lord, when I think about it, they are more precious to me than all the riches of this world. I respect unto them. I proclaim them. I meditate on them. And I will not forget them. What great instruction. What great privilege and opportunity we have to look into the Word of God. And I don't mean just to have a Bible in your glove compartment, a Bible on your coffee table at home, open to Obadiah so people think you read heavy books, a Bible in the bathroom in case you have to read there, in your back pocket. You leave one at work in your desk. You leave one in the lost and found, so when you come on Sunday, you don't have to carry it. It's found every week. No. You know that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about letting the Word of God be the Word of God in our lives. Letting the Word of God be the Word of God in the lives of our children, in our marriage, our parenting, where we work. What comes out of our mouth, how clean is it? What we let go into our eyes and our ears. Because there's a way of blessing right in the middle of all that.